Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
LA Care and Blue Shield Promise Health Plan Community Resource Centers want to help you stay active, healthy, and informed in your neighborhood or your local CRC. We offer classes, fitness, and social services assistance. Visit CommunityCenterLA.org. Blue Shield of California Promise Health Plan is an independent licensee of the Blue Shield Association. LA Care and Blue Shield Promise Health Plan Community Resource Centers want to help you stay active, healthy, and informed in your neighborhood or your local CRC. We offer classes, fitness, and social services assistance. Visit CommunityCenterLA.org. Blue Shield of California Promise Health Plan is an independent licensee of the Blue Shield Association.
If you like weird history, true crime, haunted and paranormal, then pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Ghost Town wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a video component to our favorite Ghost Town episodes at youtube.com/Jason Horton. Episodes like The Los Feliz Murder House, The Toxic Lady, The Black Dahlia, Janis Joplin's Hotel Room, The Haunted Roosevelt Hotel, and more. Just go to youtube.com/Jason Horton. That's youtube.com/JasonHorton. And while you're there, please subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Thank you. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. You can get a trial month of Hims for just $5. Go to forhims.com/friends. That's forhims.com/friends. All right, let's do it. It's Friends Without Benefits. It's the Friends Without Benefits podcast. My name is Jason Horton. Welcome to the show. Today, I sit down and have a chat with Tay Zonde. You probably know him best as the guy who sang Chocolate Rain, the viral video, the internet sensation, and I've known him for as long as I've been in the YouTube world, and he has made a really great career for himself. He's an actor, musician, artist, and he's a very interesting and thoughtful person. Interesting points of view, and I feel like he's one of those people, if I was like at a party, not that I would go to a party, and tried to have a similar conversation, I don't think most people are as open as they are when they put on, a pair of headphones and talking into a microphone. Even though more people are going to hear about it, I feel like they open up more. And I believe this is one of those conversations. I recently did a stand-up show, and somebody in the audience told me that I looked like Drew Carey. I reminded them of Drew Carey. And I didn't really know how to take it, but they seemed really hot for Drew Carey, so I took it as a win. Listen, successful guy, I just don't think I look like Drew Carey. I'm not saying I look better or worse. I'm just saying we're not doppelgangers. But I took it as a positive, I guess. She seemed to like be super hot for Drew Carey. On that note, I'll be at the Comedy Store March 20th at 7:30 p.m. If you want to see for yourself when I'm on stage, do I look more or less like Drew Carey? While we're on the topic of looks, 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. And the problem is, once you start noticing your hair is going away, it's too late, and it's easier to keep the hair you already have than to try to replace the hair that you've lost. And you wind up like, kind of like, well, can I move my hair this way? Can I put on 5 hats? And then, you know, do you want a bald spot to pop up, or do you want to do something about it first? And guys tend to go other, like what's in, can I hang upside down and my hair will start to grow? What weird, weird things will I read on a message board that I will try? Well, there's a solution. 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Okay, Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. There's well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. Keep it. If you have it, keep it. Don't give up the fight. There's no snake oil pills. There's over-the-counter weird over-the-counter supplements from a gas station. That's your solution. No, prescription solutions backed by science. There's no waiting room, awkward doctor's visits, and you can save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's easy. You answer a few questions, a doctor will review and prescribe you products that are shipped directly to your door. It's like you, sometimes you're willing to do what you need to do, but you're like, you don't want to go through this awkward thing of like going to the doctor. Nobody wants to admit like, I'm getting older or I'm prematurely this or that. Well, for Hims takes that, all those problems away. They know what the problems are. They know, listen, I'll buy like 3 of the same shirt in different sizes just because I just don't want to try it on. I just don't want to deal with it. And in the same way, 4hims has it all figured out. They take all that guesswork out and make it very, very easy for you. So order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost you hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. So go to 4hims.com/friends. That's FORHIMS.com/friends. 4hims.com/friends. First time I worked with Tay was a parody of True Hollywood Story that E used to do. I don't know if they still do it, but it was the True Hollywood Story of the keyboard cat. So goes way back. I mean, we're talking like almost 10 years. We've worked together ever since on various projects, ran into each other at various events. And I think after all this time, there's probably things I want to know about him. Like, I was just like, it's basically, what's up with you, dude? Not in a bad way, but like, I want to know what's up, and how do I ask the kind of questions, have the conversation I want to have, unless it's in this kind of podcast interview format. But I think you'll find it really, really interesting. So let's get into it with Tay Zonday.
Okay. Well, let me turn my phone off, though, because that'll be weird.
But it'll make you seem really popular. You're like, ugh.
It's like, oh my gosh, I had to do Jason Horton's podcast.
I feel like kind of on TV shows where like people are always getting interrupted by their phone. They never shut. They don't, the concept of either shutting it off or keeping it on silent is never a thing. It's like, you know, you have the option to like not have it buzz or ring, but they never change it.
No, because it's such an easy go-to for writers.
Well, like before,
you don't have to pay at a SAG rate. The phone is just there,
and it's a way to kind of like get in or out of a situation or change a situation. Like now, a cell phone can. I mean, you know,
But you do improv. I mean, that's a really cheap way to wrap a scene or to like. I mean, if that's what you're relying on in your environment, then be a little bit more creative.
Well, I mean, we could do that when you're like, if you're awkward at a party, which I don't really go to, but if I was, I'd be awkward. I could just pretend I'm on the.
You did when you were younger. You were a partier then, right?
Never.
Never.
No.
You've never done it.
I had my first drink at 33.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, honestly, because I. When did I have my first drink? Maybe 25. But yeah. I've consumed alcohol maybe five times since I was 21. I'm 35 now. So
right. Yeah, I don't.
I really don't drink much. I don't like the it burns. It like burns my face and my sinuses.
Yeah.
And I just never got into it. I don't like soda either, though. I don't like carbonation.
Oh,
I do. I'm
addicted.
Real sensitive to that.
No, I just. Yeah, that's what's going to get me is the soda.
Oh, wow.
It's going to get me.
I don't understand how people do it.
It's addictive. Well, it's addiction.
Yeah.
If I had to really boil it down, they obviously found a way to make it addictive and they succeeded.
And it's the caffeine, so it's the addiction nobody talks about.
Yeah. It's a very silent killer. I was thinking about when we first it was it through Totally Sketch we first connected on.
Was it Michael Gallagher?
Yeah,
you should get him on here. He's a rock star now.
Oh, he's been on here twice. He's been on here twice.
Oh, I didn't go through all the podcasts.
Yeah, well, we just hit you know. I know we passed number 69.
Oh wow!
So you're not going to be number 69. Very sorry. That's a very coveted one.
I'm not a prime
one.
Number.
No, yeah. No. You'll be like 175.
Oh wow!
That'd
there
be
we
good.
Go.
I know. I don't know. I won't live that long. But I feel like Michael Gallagher's in Totally Sketch is the way a lot of us have met.
Yeah.
At least me personally.
And you know how I met Michael Gallagher was he. Was 19 years old working at Mahalo.
Oh, yeah.
That old human search engine from back in the days. And he made sketches for them, did sketch comedy. And he was interviewing enough YouTubers, including me, whom he interviewed in late 2007. No, he set up an interview between me and Veronica Belmont in San Francisco.
What happened to her?
And that's a good question.
Yeah. Anyone? Anyone? Anyone out there?
I'd have to Google. But it was a lovely interview in 2007, and then we stayed in touch. And eventually he figured, hey, why don't I make YouTube sketches for myself? And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. Well, I know how I've first had some kind of contact with you before that, because I was working for the E! Channel, and I mailed you some kind of like licensing agreement. I remember mailing you a licensing agreement.
Wow.
And addressing it to you.
It's the weirdest things that people hang on to. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm very memorable. So people remember these little details of, hey, you know, I saw you at the airport in San Francisco in 2008, and I was really nervous, and you kind of seemed to be, like, tired, so I didn't want to approach you. And they'll be telling this 10 years later. I'm like, really? I don't know. It's weird because I don't have any – I can't – remember all the people who remember me.
Oh, well, I mean, being on, you know, on something like YouTube or where, I mean, it could be anyone, it could be TV, movies. People see so much. I think YouTube is very more personal. So people consume so much of you and then they feel like they're like, oh, well, but you don't know anything about the other people.
Well, I'm also like Big Bird too, though. I mean, it's just like, I am what I am. I'm there. It's hard for me to hide.
Right. I'm
a type, as they call it. They say it politely in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're a type.
I want to be a type so bad. I wish I could. I wish they knew what to do with me.
No, because you have like range actors and type. Like a range actor would be like Christian Bale. Yeah. You don't know what he's going to be from movie to movie. Yeah. You don't know what paintbrush he's going to be in telling the story that has been written for him because he's allowed to have range. You know, a type would be more like a Vern Troyer. You know, you're conceptualizing a fairly specific type of talent when you're writing a role for Vern Troyer. Whom I guess if the people listening don't know, he's a fairly short actor. So
Austin Power movies.
Yeah, Austin Power, Mini Me and Austin Power and whatnot. So
where'd you grow up originally?
The North Chicago suburbs. Elgin, Schaumburg, Bartlett, Evanston, kind of bounced around. My mom was both my parents were school teachers, but then my mom was an elementary school principal for 25 years. So
did you go to her school?
You know, it's funny. She was my principal in first and second grade. Although those years we were living in rural Michigan, a little town called Cassopolis, just over the border from kind of South Bend, Mishawaka. They kind of call that area Michiana if you're from that area. And, you know, she was my principal. And that's interesting. I mean, in a small town, everybody kind of knows everybody. So I don't know if that's that unusual. But, you know, and I was not a well-behaved kid. That's the thing. Like, I always had a very passionate sense of justice and what was right and what was wrong. And
so you were a narc.
A snitch.
That has another context. Though. I mean, it's like, wait, they were dealing drugs in my school precinct, and I was just snitching on them. They put a hit out on me. I remember I was not a well-behaved. You know what it was? I always thought I was an adult too. So I would always debate. I would argue.
Like an old soul?
I really was an old soul. I can see that. So, if I was told to do something, I'd be like, well, why? Why is that? Why? I still get in trouble for that today. People don't like it when you ask questions because we're all in this world where we're fed what we believe and we are, kept in this bubble of things that keep us
comfortable. Don't shake up my world.
Yeah, don't rock this. So, people don't like questions to be asked now. And I still feel like I get in trouble if I ask too many questions. Like, okay, I guess I won't.
What was your kind of, back then, did you have dreams and goals? Like, I want to be this.
I wanted to be a paleontologist when I was in first and second grade. I loved dinosaurs. And, this was back before we realized that dinosaurs had avian lungs and were probably, predecessors to birds. So when they drew the pictures of dinosaurs, they looked like big lizards.
Very cool.
And, yeah, they looked kind of cool. And I thought that I would grow up and dig for dinosaur bones. Yeah. And I knew all the names. And
I also think
The Land Before Time was my favorite movie.
It's very male. I mean, this is... Speaking as a male, dinosaurs are so cool. I feel like there was a very, at least when I was a very traditionally, but stereotypically masculine thing. Like,
really?
Stegosaurus is like tough, and Tyrannosaurus Rex, and then the Transformers cartoons had dinosaur versions. I don't know. I feel like there was it definitely appealed in a way.
That may be the case because I was not allowed to play with violent action figures as a kid. I was not allowed to play with G.I. Joe and He-Man and. My parents were fairly progressive, but also strict. So I was a very parented child. So I never thought of it that way. Yeah. You see, I'm already gaining new insights into my own psychology being on this podcast. Maybe my interest in dinosaurs was searching for some sense of masculinity and some semblance of a male superhero that I could celebrate.
The marketing appealed to boys.
Not necessarily like movies like The Land Before Time. Yeah. I remember, with the cute characters like Sarah and, I remember it very much being marketed as a family thing. And I guess there was a dinosaur phase in pop culture from the late 80s, early 90s.
Well, Jurassic World is, it's back now, I guess.
Yeah.
Can't get away from it.
Absolutely.
So was there a point where music kind of, music enters everyone's life, whether it's a pedestrian or you're just as a...
That's what I always say. People ask me, well, how long have you been singing? And I always say people are born singing. They're untaught how to sing. As adults, most people are just taught, either you're bad at this or don't do it. But children naturally sing. They naturally vocalize. Mm-hmm. So I guess I just didn't totally unlearn that. But... we had a grand piano in my house when I was a kid. My mother pursued music with some success earlier in her life. She won a show called Ted Mack and the Original Amateur Hour in the 1950s and was a choir to a soprano. But my mom's black, my dad's white. Kind of in the period of the 60s where my mom was starting to have success as a younger girl, there weren't as many opportunities for African-American women to be successful in opera until about a decade later. So she ended up going down a different path. But we all had the opportunity to take music lessons, and it was part of our families as a kid. But I would say my mom chose not to force me to learn music. She chose not to be a disciplinarian. She felt that that sort of compromised the relationship if she tried to be both a sensei and a parent. So sometimes I wish she had pushed me a little bit harder because I did take some piano lessons, but I ultimately let it fall by the wayside and it became basically a hobby. I was in graduate school in Minneapolis pursuing a PhD in American studies because I always figured out as a kid that I wanted to be a PhD in something. That's what I moved into after dinosaurs. I watched Star Trek. The Next Generation. I love Lieutenant Commander Data. I love the idea of Spock and Data and being smart and just
analytical.
Yes, just being able to walk into a room and sound like the smartest guy and be the smartest guy. Being the youngest of my two other siblings, you know, my brother's 6 years older, my sister's 11 years older, so I was the youngest by quite a bit, always surrounded by older, smarter people. And so I think part of the drive to sound smart and be articulate and be intellectual came from that. And so Spock and Data and wanting to become a doctor of somebody was always in my head. And that's exactly the lack of focus with which I entered graduate school. I was in undergrad in communications, had an advisor being like, hey, I got my PhD in American studies. I didn't have to know what I was doing. And I went into grad school not knowing what I was doing. But I continued to have music as a hobby. And in Minneapolis, it's very cold, but I remember dragging my keyboard, sometimes along with that keyboard to open microphones at small mom and pop cafes around the city and playing for two people, maybe three people, half of whom would be reading the newspaper. And along came YouTube in 2006, where I was like, hey, why am I going to all this effort to play for nobody? Minnesotans aren't honest with you. They're wonderful people, but they're a little bit too nice.
There's a lot of good music that came from Minneapolis.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful musicians. Yeah. But you ask
Prince.
Yeah. But you ask Minnesotans, well, how did I do? Did you like that? And they're like, yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. You know, keep at that. Yeah, keep doing that, you know. Yeah. They won't tell you if they really think you were terrible or if you were great, just because, you know, they're not super confrontational. In New York, they will. Yeah. You know, on the East Coast, they have no problem. Boston, anywhere on the East Coast, they'll be very honest with you. But so I started recording videos in my living room. I wanted to create an alternative name. My government name is Adam Bonner. I'm like, well, I figure I'm going to still be an academic and publishing papers or doing museum research or whatever happens when I finish my PhD.
You didn't want to have the Adam name be connected to everything.
Yeah, no, I wanted to do this music project as kind of like, okay, I'll call my music this character. And so in January 2007, I was Googling catchy names. I put Tay Zonde in quotes, with and without a space.
How? How do you come up with those letters together?
You know, they just roll off the
tongue. No, it does.
But,
it does.
But the other story is it got zero results on Google.
And is that so good or that's good?
That's good.
Yeah.
Because that I knew it was going to be mine. So I took tayzonde.com and .net.
So you were analytical from the very beginning when it came to your marketing? I mean,
I was very deliberate in building that brand. And I knew if you heard Tay Zonde in conversation, it was clear how it would be spelled. That's the biggest thing I find when anybody is pitching anything to me now, whether it's a show, a podcast, there's this app that I'm doing, whatever. I Google it and I really question, is this a unique Google name? Are you at the top of your own Google results for what the name that you were handing out on your business card? And a lot of people who are very smart still don't have that intuitive sense of branding to this day, where, you know, the first thing anybody is going to do with any endeavor that you pursue in your life is Google you. And
so you're reverse engineering the process. Yeah.
If you're not at the top of your own Google results, then, you know, you're right. Already.
Plus, your name is phonetic. It's like it's spelled the way it sounds for the most part. And it's clearly, if I wanted to be like, oh, I'm going to look this guy up. That's the worst thing when people have like weird, you know, it's website names, Twitter. And I was like, oh, I don't know how this is. How is this spelled? Like, and then you never find it and then it's forgotten. Mm-hmm. But yours, it's guaranteed that, you know, you're probably going to spell it correctly within like a 95%, you know, success rate.
Well, some people ended up thinking it was Tay Zonde when they heard it instead of Tay Zonde. But, you know, the spelling is the same. But in any case, you know, I did get honest feedback on YouTube in my early videos. My first video was singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, but way deep like Paul Robeson. So like, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And, you know, people would tell me, oh my gosh, my ears are bleeding. You sound like a didgeridoo. Have you ever heard of Australian throat singing? I don't think this is ever going to be mainstream. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, at least they're telling me what they really think as opposed to the open mics where I didn't get that type of feedback. But I kind of learned to sing an octave higher in the baritone range, which is where Chocolate Rain ended up being up because I figured it would have more mass appeal. And Chocolate Rain was a song that I ended up uploading as an afterthought. I had completed a number of songs on YouTube, and you know, I had a small following on YouTube. There were a number of us in the early days on YouTube They had a friend system where you could add friends, and then after you added friends, you could invite them to subscribe to your channel. It's funny, a little known fact, one of the first friends that I had on YouTube, under YouTube's friends system, was the Kid Raul channel, which actually ended up being, it's Justin Bieber's channel. Okay. And at that point, you know, Justin, he was just another kid, and his mom was uploading videos for him saying, hey, my kid can sing and he can dance to, you know, Michael Jackson and Usher. And he was a talented singer and dancer, but of course, the rest, as they say, is history on that. But I had another video, Love, that I'd done with a collaborator in Australia that they announced they would feature on the front page back when the front page of YouTube was human curated. And that was like the biggest news in the world at the time in 2007, getting the news that you would be hosted on, or featured rather, on YouTube's front page. So I thought I should double.
LA Care and Blue Shield Promise Health Plan community resource centers want to help you stay active, healthy, and informed in your neighborhood or your local CRC. We offer classes, fitness, and social services assistance. Visit communitycenterla.org. Blue Shield of California Promise Health Plan is an independent licensee of the Blue Shield Association. LA Care and Blue Shield Promise Health Plan community resource centers want to help you stay active, healthy, and informed in your neighborhood or your local CRC. We offer classes, fitness, and social services assistance. Visit communitycenterla.org. Blue Shield of California Promise Health Plan is an independent licensee of the Blue Shield Association.
Ah, the most wonderful time of the year. Although, let's be honest, around the holidays, things really add up. But here's the good news. Only at Verizon, you can get a single line for $50 per month when you switch and bring your phone. So while ice skating for two is definitely costing more, here at Verizon, you can save. Gifts for your third cousins? Steep. A single line with Verizon? Not so steep. A real tree? Pricey. A single line with Verizon? Less pricey. Flights to see Meemaw and Pops? Those are up. A $50 per month single line? That's down. Even a trip to the Los Angeles Holiday Market will cost you more. But with Verizon, you can switch and bring your phone for just $50 per month for a single line on unlimited welcome, with autopay plus taxes and fees. All this to say, during the holiday season, when everything is costing more, you can get more for less right now at a local Verizon store. $15 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G, 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Learn more at GuardYourCard.com.
Dip. I needed to finish this other song that I'd been writing and have it auto-playing on my page so that that would get traffic too. So, yeah, I spent about 6 weeks writing the lyrics to Chocolate Rain. The riff had been in my head for a couple of years. I rushed it to be completed that weekend and just put the video up. And it got a little bit of attention. You know, it was maybe at 30,000 views after a couple of months, which, you know, wasn't nothing back in 2007.
I mean, it's something now still with the amount of videos that are out there.
Oh, absolutely. And someone posted it on dig.com, which is like Reddit, in June of 2007. And social bookmarking site. It was seen by someone who's part of 4chan and then posted on 4chan, which is a message board of, you can Google them. There's lots of news that's tied to 4chan and Anonymous and whatnot. Some of ill repute and some...
Sure, you know, yeah.
But I won't be their biographer. Yeah. But in any case, it sort of became a joke on that site. And the first sense I got that the video was going to go viral was someone prank called Tom Green's web show that he was doing at the time. And in the middle of the call, they broke out singing, "Chocolate Rain," da da, and Tom Green kind of responded as a joke, like, "Oh, chocolate rain," da, 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 and hung up the phone. And I was like, oh, that's the first semblance of a known person who I could actually name. Like, okay, maybe he did Freddy Got Fingered or whatever, yeah. But I knew who he was singing this thing that I did on the internet. And a couple days later, Carson Daly featured it on his TV show, which was a late night show at the time on primetime TV. And it became a national news story where in the first 2 weeks, I believe this was mid-July 2007, I was asked to do radio interviews and just literally a nerd plucked out of my element. And you listen to my early interviews, they're terrible. My first satellite interview on CNN, I think I said, about 35 times.
There's not a lot of precedent, though, for you know.
That's true. There were no breadcrumbs to follow for going viral at the time that I did. I couldn't be like, well,
word viral was barely around then.
Yeah, like, what did Rebecca Black do? What did Antoine Dodson do? What did Damn Daniel do? There wasn't anybody. There were other videos that were going viral, like Soulja Boy's Crank That, Chris Crocker's Leave Britney Alone went viral about a month later. But I was the family-friendly viral. I was the viral video that YouTube liked for PR reasons, because at the time, YouTube's biggest competitor was MySpace, and then Facebook was this young up-and-comer. And YouTube needed a signature event that defined what could happen on YouTube that could not happen on any competing platform. So this idea that one person was able to upload a video and then thousands of people parodied the song, remixed Chocolate Rain, singing their own videos in front of bedsheets and singing Minstrel Pain or whatever other joke they could come up with related to it, it became a phenomenon. And YouTube actually reached out to me and said, hey, we want to feature a front page takeover where we just take over the front page with Chocolate Rain and derivative videos that people have used to remix it. And they did that. So it was really this perfect storm of, I had, for totally incidental reasons, decided to put a downloadable MP3 with the song because I was mad YouTube wouldn't play videos in stereo. So I was like, okay, I'm going to provide this as a free download so people can hear it in its full quality. I happened to do a song that it was very easy to loop the first part of the MP3 and re-sing on top of it. So many ducks had to line up in a row for it to find success. And when in that crazy moment of heat where everyone and their mother is trying to contact me in the entertainment industry. So, you know, three of the four major record labels at the time were trying to contact me to sign me, booking agents, literary guess those are literary agents, people wanting me to sing at their kids' bar mitzvahs, people wanting me to sing at their corporate parties. And I was not ready for any of this. I was literally just a full-time graduate student who did music as a hobby in my living room, and suddenly...
Were you in Minneapolis at this time?
I was in Minneapolis, still in graduate school. And in fact, if anyone knows about how humanities PhDs work, there's two parts. You do your coursework for 3 years, and then you take your prelim exams, and then you're allowed to do your research to finish the PhD for another couple of years. I had my prelim exams that summer. So it was just a very, very busy summer, and I kind of had to decide, do I want to drop everything and pursue entertainment, or do I want to continue in grad school? I decided to try to continue. It didn't ultimately work out. Eventually, I kind of fell out of the PhD in my department, and I agreed that, hey, you're not really focused on this. About a year later, I was kindly asked to leave and given a master's degree. So at that time...
Not a bad consolation.
A bad consolation. But the other interesting phenomenon is, like, when it was happening in that peak of heat, I didn't know how long it would go on for. I figured, hey, this is what it's like to have 15 minutes of fame.
Were you conservative with what you thought?
I was very conservative, I think, because I played it safe. I was very conservative. I didn't really appreciate the amount of heat that I was experiencing that summer, where suddenly I'm nobody, and then I'm on the front page of Sunday's LA Times doing Jimmy Kimmel. That October, I opened for Girl Talk at First Avenue, which is, of course, you know, an iconic club in Minneapolis. Hindsight being 2020, I probably would have done a little bit more to run with that. But you never know. It ended up being the Energizer Bunny, where it kept going and going and going, where the following March I won a YouTube award and went on a press tour. I was parodied on South Park. That following summer, 2008, I won a Webby Award. And I kind of ended up becoming iconic and identified with this period of the internet and with the idea of doing internet videos, to a point where, to this day, someone who does not remember the video Chocolate Rain and might not even remember the name Taizan Day, they'll see me sitting across the room at a mall food court or the DMV, and they'll be like, "You're that guy from the internet. You did that video." And it's an interesting dent to leave in the universe, as Steve Jobs would say.
Is that something that you are like, I don't mind this, or is it, do you have any, I don't know if there's people out there that are kind of resent their, what they have, or they're like, hey, listen, this is what, it is what it is, and it's cool.
You know, there are very, very talented people in this town, Los Angeles, and all over the world who work their entire lives, and they don't get a single calling card. There is, you know, nothing in the public mind that sticks out for them. And so I look at it positively. If you get a calling card, enjoy it, roll with it. You know, if Alphonse Ribeiro walks in the room right now, he has done all sorts of work in entertainment. He's hosted, he's written, he's directed, he's a very talented dancer, Dancing with the Stars, done all sorts of things. But when he walks in the room, what do you remember?
Carlton.
The Carlton dance. That's just a calling card that's in his pocket. And so I look at Chocolate Rain the same way. When I walk into a room, it's like, you know, a certain number of those people will have sort of an old business card of mine in their pocket, where they'll have an experience that touched them or that's memorable. And it's odd how Chocolate Rain became something like, I would say, you know, my parents' generation is always going to remember a certain number of things. Like, they'll remember when they heard that JFK got shot. They remember when they heard that John Lennon,
moon landing.
Not to use morbid examples.
Yeah, but
you know, a lot of people remember where they were when they first heard Chocolate Rain or what they were doing. And it's funny to hear adults now who are, you know, maybe in their 20s go, yeah, you know, I was in seventh grade and
somebody came up to me.
We were in the computer lab and we were passing it around. And is that real? Is his voice real? And it was just a really definite memory for a lot of people.
I remember seeing your Dr. Pepper commercial. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
after I've said that I hate carbonated beverages in this podcast.
Right.
I guess they won't be coming back to me. No. Although I will say the Diet Cherry Chocolate Dr. Pepper, it was at the higher end of carbonated beverages.
Good. Now, listen, you're not going to get an argument out of me. I think it's good. I thought it was a good move.
What's funny, there have been case studies on that. I was at an ad agency here in L.A., a major national ad agency. Someone runs up to me and they're like, "You were in a case study in my college marketing class." I'm like, "Really?" So it's just kind of funny.
Yeah. You're shaping young minds.
Apparently,
you're responsible for their success or failures in some small way.
Yeah, but I guess that really was one of the first examples of a sponsored video. But that's a perfect example of I really didn't know what I was doing, and so I had to try everything. I didn't know what it would be like to turn Chocolate Rain into a Dr. Pepper ad. That wasn't the plan. The plan was for me to write an original song and have that be the theme song, but the production deadline approached, and it was about 2 weeks until it was about to be done, and they're like, "We don't like anything you're making, Tay. You already have a successful song. Let's just write lyrics to it and pay a producer to do it." And I was like, "Fine, I'll roll with it."
Yeah.
And I just had to see how it went.
Do you feel like your life – I know your life changed, but do you feel like you – did you – were you – aware of any change, or were you like, it's still me now just dealing with these things, or do you think it changed you in any way for better or for worse?
I was very, very confused in the time that Chocolate Rain was blowing up, and especially when Cherry Chocolate Rain came up, because in so many ways Tay Zonde became a character. I did character-y things in the Dr. Pepper ad, the Cherry Chocolate Rain video, where the original Chocolate Rain video was just this really sweet moment of my not being self-aware in any way and being genuine. And I think a lot of people latched onto that. And when I did other things like Cherry Chocolate Rain, it took the brand in so many different directions that, and even when Chocolate Rain blew up, a lot of people, most people found it to just be funny. I am a small person, relatively. I sing with a deep voice. I have interesting mannerisms. I move away from the mic to breathe in. That ended up being printed on a shirt that got sold in Hot Topic. All of these aspects, maybe 20% of people gathered that maybe the song is about something deeper, something more meaningful. So in my kind of new experience of the entertainment industry, I had to decide, do I allow this to be comedy? Should I? I didn't intend for it to be comedy. I'm not offended by the fact that it's comedy, but it just really wasn't the angle that I had intended to go with. I always joke that I'm terrible at intentional comedy, and I'm great at accidental comedy. And as soon as I try to be funny deliberately, then it just doesn't work. But me just being me, I'm a fantastic, what they call the straight man, what they call... Is there a gender neutral way to say? I feel bad calling, but you've done improv, the straight person, the straight as opposed to absurd,
right?
I think if I had known that, maybe it would have brought a little bit more awareness to what I was doing in 2007. But I didn't know. I mean, it was the first time for me, and I knew that the moment of heat would come and go faster than I could take a journey in terms of learning about myself. I had so much to learn about my brand, who I was, what I wanted to do, that I would just have to make the best choices, call the best shots that I could, and roll with it. And I got very lucky that the moment of heat it lasted a fairly long length of time.
Well, I was going to say, the world of YouTube is, a lot of people, you go to VidCon every year, or you've gone enough times to see people.
I have actually been to every VidCon, that is correct.
So, same here. And you see people that are like, people are losing their minds for, and the next year, nothing.
Absolutely. I'm one of those people, so.
But however.
Here's the thing. You know what? People recognize me. They just don't care anymore, because which is kind of like this perfect place to be, where it's like, oh, yeah, there's that guy. I took a picture with him 4 years ago.
Right. But there's still there's like kind of like a there's like a purpose, you know, in the beat. But I think it's because you never, and I think where people later on where they become like really popular, they think like this is gonna last forever. I'm wonderful. I'm great because people are telling me that I'm great. And then by the next year, or maybe the year after, they've become like irrelevant in comparison.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you certainly find out who your true friends are.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're hot, you can't keep anybody off you when you're hot.
Yeah.
Everybody is approaching you to do any type of thing on the planet. And, yeah, I mean, that's one experience, and I think it's valid. But, you know, now, you know, the biggest difference now, though, is when I was having – you know, I was the bee's knees and very hot in 2007 and said, hey, I have huge numbers on the internet. I could meet with Hollywood agents and they'd pick me up like a wet piece of lettuce and be like, so where are your TV credits? Where are your feature film credits? It didn't mean anything to them at that time to have big numbers on the internet. Whereas now the world is
you can leverage that
yeah. is completely opposite. There's almost sort of this fetishization of social media metrics and inflating them and seeming like you're somebody. You know, I always tell people looking to grow their social media though, that discoverability is more important than your audience size. That you know, it goes back to what I said earlier. Someone who can Google you and find you and find out what you've been doing recently, then, you know, that's key because
that's a better longer game.
That's a better long game. Yeah. I almost look at my social media now as sort of a resume, so to speak. You know, it's not so much about numbers because YouTube has changed completely. YouTube now, it's about uploading 20, 30-minute videos 5 days a week and yeah. getting people to come back and spend
twice a day sometimes
and spend a long time on the platform. Whereas a video like Chocolate Rain, or if you're doing music videos in the way that I did, my content was divisive. It was alienating. There were some people who looked at it and they were like, I feel uncomfortable. This guy looks like Janet Jackson. He sings like Barry White. I don't know if he's using a voice changer. Like, it wasn't all just this warm embrace from the world. There was some pushback too. And now all of the social media platforms are designed to prevent user alienation. They're designed to prevent you from seeing anything that could disturb you, challenge your preconceived notions.
Keeps you in that bubble.
Yeah, it keeps you in that bubble, like we said. So content like viral, almost called it viral rain. Content like Chocolate Rain doesn't go viral as easily now.
Yeah. I remember you, seeing you in a lot of projects like Internet Famous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very funny. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Michael's great.
Yeah, that was very, it was just a very...
Not a single Chocolate Rain joke in that movie.
No, I know.
Oh, no, actually, I guess it was at the end. But at the end, that was fun. That was like after.
Yeah, that was an after thing. But it was just a very funny kind of real thing of like, yeah. You'd have to see, you know, go see Internet Famous.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Go see it. Tastes great in it. I'm in it for a second, and I'm great in it, too.
I always joke that my acting career is on the friends and family plan.
Yeah, okay.
And like, I have plenty of IMDb credits,
yeah.
But it's rarely from an audition or an open cattle call where, 1,000 people showed up and they suddenly whittled it down to me. Like, you're the one to play that role. It's always people who know me and have seen me in person and have a concept of what my range is and where I'm
best. You've already auditioned 10,000 times for them inadvertently.
Yeah, inadvertently because they've met me in real life. And they're like, oh, this would be a great role for Tay. Why don't we bring him in for this? Which is, it's kind of frustrating. I would say dream come true in the future. If I could choose how to make a living in entertainment, it would absolutely be acting on camera. I feel more real with lights in my face and being on a set delivering lines that someone else has written in fiction and being that character than I do in real life. And part of that is because my real life is so fictional.
Yeah.
It's so, you know, people see me and they see a distinct experience that they've had. So I feel more real on sets than I do off of sets in terms of acting. But I think it's also a challenge because people don't really write stories for types. Especially for types, actors who are specific types to be leads. So, you know, I've gone to auditions where I'll read for a relatively minor role, even for something, you know, CSA casting director, Netflix special, whatever, and the line is literally like something, all right, let me slide this cap across the table. And I'm reading it exactly the way that I would deliver it authentically, but somehow that's not right for that particular role. So, you know, it's interesting the way casting and the way entertainment works. But I also look very young. You know, I'm 35. I don't really look older than 20 on camera. So
I'm so sorry to hear that.
so that's another reality of, you know, there may be some opportunities that I'll have when I'm looking a little bit older, because naturally I would play roles of authority. I would play the chief of police, the senator, the governor, the professor, the
narco snitch. That no, we're talking about. Oh, listen,
the second grade narco snitch.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it. I'd catch in a second. So what's going on now? What do you do? Are you just like all of us in Hollywood, just finding our place and you know, working as much as we can and just enjoying life? Is that that's what's going on with you right now?
That's a great description. No, there's so much pressure in Los Angeles to answer this question in an impressive name-dropping way, where you're supposed to name-drop every project that you're part of, and you know, people joke that LA is fake because, you know, the answer to that question is always like, oh, well, you know, I was just on a set with Quentin Tarantino and this and that. And, you know, I think it's okay to just be in a mode of exploring. The answer I give when I come into the country through U.S. Customs and they ask me, what do you do for a living, is I say that I'm an entertainment. What that means, if I have to break it down, is I sing, I act, I do voice work. I've had some success doing voice work. But, you know, that's also something I don't brag about, because especially if you're doing that, it's really about the client and not necessarily about the talent. So I try not to make things about me being the particular talent if it doesn't really need to be about me.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't know. I think we both have you know, been like through the in that YouTube world for so long, and still are like still in it, and with a lot of other people, and I don't know. I feel like we always end up working together, or I see you and stuff like that. And
our friends are becoming pretty successful.
Yeah.
I mean, the 2007 cohort of YouTubers.
Yeah.
Rhett and Link have a big production coming.
Everyone's doing great.
The Fine Brothers are doing great.
Everyone learned a lot.
Michael Gallagher.
Yeah.
Shane Dawson. We were in a couple of his videos.
Yeah.
He's doing fantastic. So
everyone's doing great.
Yeah.
Everyone. I'm happy for everyone. Everyone's doing great. But I'm most happy for us.
Yeah.
So where can we find you online?
You Google Tay Zonday.
See? Gotcha. See? That's the big takeaway from this.
All my reels are on my website, TayZonday.com.
Yeah.
So
not Tay Zonday.
Yeah, it's Tay Zonday.
But if you put it all together, it's going to be the same thing. This is fun. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
LA Care and Blue Shield Promise Health Plan Community Resource Centers want to help you stay active, healthy, and informed in your neighborhood or your local CRC. We offer classes, fitness, and social services assistance. Visit communitycenterla.org. Blue Shield of California Promise Health Plan is an independent licensee of the Blue Shield Association.
LA Care and Blue Shield Promise Health Plan Community Resource Centers want to help you stay active, healthy, and informed in your neighborhood or your local CRC. We offer classes, fitness, and social services assistance. Visit communitycenterla.org. Blue Shield of California Promise Health Plan is an independent licensee of the Blue Shield Association.
Ah, the most wonderful time of the year. Although, let's be honest, around the holidays, things really add up. But here's the good news. Only at Verizon, you can get a single line for $50 per month when you switch and bring your phone. So while ice skating for two is definitely costing more, here at Verizon, you can save. Gifts for your third cousins? Steep. A single line with Verizon? Not so steep. A real tree? Pricey. A single line with Verizon? Less pricey. Flights to see Meemaw and Pops? Those are up. A $50 per month single line? That's down. Even a trip to the Los Angeles Holiday Market will cost you more. But with Verizon, you can switch and bring your phone for just $50 per month for a single line on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. All this to say, during the holiday season, when everything is costing more, you can get more for less right now at a local Verizon store. $15 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G, 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey, stuff happens to good people every day. So if you're injured in an accident or injured at work, there's only one person you need to call. Fareed, the owner of DTLA Law. Here's what's great about DTLA Law. You can get a free case review right now, and you pay zero unless you win. And they've collected over $1 billion in settlements for their clients. Call the top injury law firm in L.A. now. Dial #250 and say injury lawyer. You'll have the option for a one-time auto-dial text message from this podcast.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.